Welcome to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. Straight talk, enthusiastic support, and heartfelt encouragement for you to open up to your sacred sexuality. And now your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Grateful to continue to share, Oh, hello. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you, Leslie.
Moving on. So we're going to head into a little bit of exploration and meditation. Exploring stories of my path, exploring a little bit about some discussion and topics that sometimes are edgy and uncomfortable and difficult to talk about. And these are really what this show is all about, like letting ourselves be authentically who we are. So with that, let's take a moment to settle in and to breathe and to make a little sound. Allowing yourself to settle into your body, feel your breath. Feel and allow the sounds that you are exhaling with to grow and to expand, to allow any heaviness to drop away, to invite your awareness to tether deep down into your belly, your pelvis, and to connect in feeling your relationship with the earth. Feeling a deep gratitude for relationship with the earth. What a gift it is to plug in, to rest in well-being, in knowing that life's got my back. For me, that's very much what this practice of slowing down and connecting is about. And as I relax into that connected space, feel my own midline of my body and widen my awareness to relate and orient into the world. Which way is earth? Which way is sky or heavens? Which way is east, south, west, north? It helps me, again, feel a sense of well-being and here in this moment. And with that breath, inviting a breath of gratitude for taking time for you to explore this topic today, to explore with me on this program, to maybe open to some new possibilities, see some things in some new way. With a breath of gratitude, gently bring your awareness back into space and open your eyes. So here we are. We are exploring today. I'm kind of excited. This is a topic that has been pretty alive for me on and off over the years as I've worked now with hundreds of people privately and related with thousands of people through presentations and radio, and often I'll get questions, and the questions that come through will come in various formats, and this particular question is one that I hear quite often in different contexts. Sometimes it's wanting to learn more about how to do this, sometimes it's a question just for a possibility, and the very question itself is, how can I make my partner orgasm? And usually the question is coming in context with a female partner. So how can I make my girlfriend come, for example? Or how can I support, or not support, it's usually used the word make. How can I make them have pleasure or give them pleasure? And this question itself, is, as it comes through in these various facets, I recognize I've been addressing in similar ways. And I wanted to take a moment to actually go through that a bit today, the different subtleties and the art of the very balance in the answer of that question. So with that, I want to begin with the very nature of where we are on this planet right now, as we are at June 16th and of 2015. There, we are in the time of a new moon. So beginning with the inspiration of the new moon, this is a time as we cycle into new moon where we're heading into the fullness of the next moon. And so there's a potency here. There's a possibility. There's darkness and stillness that kind of holds the space for something to emerge that's bright and wide. And this theme is going to come back as we talk a bit today. So sit with that idea of what might you want to invite into your life at the point of the new moon that invites possibility, light, awareness. The very nature of heading into that possibility and even at this moment heading into our here in the Northern Hemisphere, our summer solstice. So also it's the time of heading into the longest day, heading into light in that same way that this new moon is inviting. So with that as a bit of a foundation and an inspiration, certainly what I've been sitting with as I stepped out onto the land last night and noticed how dark it was outside, it was just this sense of awe, of potency. And it's a bit of what I want to invite in the very answer to this question. So the question being, how can I make my partner orgasm? Let's explore that. And I'm going to start with, first, a compassionate gratitude for the enthusiasm for the question. Like, as many times as it comes up, and I'm excited to hear that people are really interested in supporting their partners to feel really good. Like, woohoo! So we'll begin with the celebration of that. And also, I want to invite that there's something about that question that also hits a little trigger in me, and there's a little bit of a pet peeve about it. And that is, why do we think that we can make anyone do anything? So I like to invite a rephrase or repattern of the very question itself, because I think the intention behind it is often really an exquisite one. Like, I want to dance in pleasure with my partner. What does that look like? How can we co-create that together? To me, that's what the root of the question is. So I'm going to begin by starting with that question. How can I make someone have an orgasm, or how can I give someone pleasure that we can't? We don't make anyone do anything in life, right? We can think, we can fool ourselves into thinking we try, and we can certainly exert aggression or exert force to try to do things, to force people to do things. The reality is we all have a choice. So we each have our own responsibility for ourselves, for who we are, and for our pleasure, and for our possibilities in this life. So this is a delicate art. To even bring this up for me is a delicate art. It's a balance, because it's one piece that says, absolutely, I want to support the enthusiastic desire to share in pleasure together. And yet at the same time, I want to acknowledge and empower that we can't force anyone to do anything. So it's like by saying, oh, no, you're not responsible for somebody else's pleasure, I'm also cautious. Because then really? Oh, cool. So I can just get my own self in my own pleasure and like have my own orgasm and then roll over and fall asleep in 4 minutes and that's okay. And no, that's not what I'm inviting. That's not okay. It's not that we can just check out from the experience or not claim any responsibility for how we're interacting with people. It's just the opposite. And that's what I'm inviting, this very sense of deep shift in pattern. The other flip side of that, to the, oh, okay, so I can just roll over and go to sleep. No, the other side of that is, oh, I feel so responsible for my partner having pleasure that then there's this performance anxiety. There's this expectancy, this pressure that says, oh, if I don't do something to make this happen now, then I'm not good enough or I'm not doing it right. And then that very pressure in advance of any kind of physical engagement can set up a whole cascade of other problems, other issues around trusting and relaxing and being in the flow of the process. And so there's spectrums to each facet of this question. It's quite a complex question in my opinion. So this delicate art and balance of not just giving up all responsibility, but not taking on so much responsibility that we're disempowering ourselves and our partners. So I'm going to start with the premise in this exploration of what I call radical self-responsibility. And this is a concept I've morphed and borrowed from many different facets of my life, the Burning Man community being one of them. The idea that we are all responsible for our own actions. And so we're responsible for being conscious and connections. We're responsible for being intentional in our interactions and how we choose to relate with other beings. And we're also responsible for holding space together for that amazing possibility, the possibility of pleasure or the possibility of an orgasm in our partner or in ourselves. That's powerful. That's a powerful, empowering awareness that I have a choice in life. I create the world around me. I'm responsible for what I'm living in. And so that also comes with a balance, because that can come with, oh no, you mean if I'm responsible for what I'm seeing around me and I'm seeing stuff I don't feel so good about, I can either reject that concept or I can take it on so deeply that I just swallow up into sort of this pit of terror and trauma and just hopelessness, I'll say. And that's not what I'm inviting either. So this is an idea of empowerment, that we can trust being in our bodies and trust our power and learn to dance in the balance of power, not take it all on and be swallowed up, but not give it all up in a sense of sort of expecting others to do things for us. So there's, again, a swing in the spectrum of where are we at in our choices and our radical self-responsibility. So if we pretend or think it's our job to make our partner do something, then we're really misleading ourselves and we're misleading our partners. So that now as we continue to explore this a little bit further, I want to go into for a moment the very nature of orgasm itself. So when I'm talking about this topic, like how can I make someone have an orgasm or how can I give someone pleasure? What is the nature of orgasm? What is the nature of pleasure? And if we take a moment there, to me, it's truly a deep capacity of surrender and allowing and letting go. So the very nature of orgasm itself is something that we can't do. We can't make anybody let go. We can't make anybody surrender or soften or allow. I can't make myself do that, right? I'm speaking from my place. And I invite each of us, we really can't make ourselves do an action that's sort of the complement of doing. The very nature of orgasm is letting go and surrender. So there's nothing making or forcing about that. It's about allowing and opening and surrendering and letting go. I can't make someone do that. I can pretend to think I am. And I can't even, like I said, I can't even make myself do that. So it's also giving ourselves permission to be gentle on ourselves, because I've also had a similar question, my own background, in fact, around having a hard time letting go an orgasm in my own path and what that looked like. And we'll come back to that. But, that I can't just like want to have an orgasm and turn that on just by pushing a button. And I think the misleading concept that thinks that that is something that we should be able to do weighs heavy on a lot of people, and especially a lot of women that I've worked with and seen, who fear they're taking too long. They take too long to orgasm. They're not having an orgasm fast enough. And so there's this fear set up around, I'm not doing it right. And then partners feel like they're supposed to do something and maybe even the women in that partnership are giving up their power to assume that their partner should be doing it. And so it's just this cascade of things that have lots of fallouts on both sides. A lot of shame, a lot of guilt, a lot of mistrust. And it's a spiral, it's a cycle. I believe, really, if I back up for a moment too, that a lot of what this gets set up around is what I'll call the expectation set up around the porn culture. And to be clear, again, even with porn, it's not a yes, no, right, wrong, good, bad, that I would say, oh, all porn is bad and you shouldn't watch porn. Not at all. In fact, sometimes it can be really exciting in a way to invite a little bit of juiciness to emerge with partners, and it can be a fun exploration in the right context. However, I will say that in most cases, in my experience with porn, is the pattern of expectation that's being laid, that's being set up, and that often people will turn to as an only resource for how do I have sex or how do I relate with a partner? How do I connect in pleasure? How do I have an orgasm or, quote, make a person have an orgasm? I think this is part of where this comes from. And so they turn to traditional porn as a resource. It's the only one out there. We don't talk about this. We don't train, we don't teach, we don't educate, we don't support our kids to learn safely about their bodies and to trust coming into relationship. So what happens? You know, my own history. It's sort of hurry up and clean up before mom finds out. It's this rushed experience, even in self-pleasure. The pattern that gets created from watching and connecting with imagery that's set up around, let's create enough space between the bodies for a camera crew to fit in, right? That's one. Let's, because we only have so much time for this film, let's cut the pieces of preparation and only zoom in to, quote, the good parts. The other pattern would be not really wanting to slow down to value stillness and spaciousness and the very seed of possibility of loving, transcendent emergence in our energy, because that takes too long. It's kind of boring, quote, so to speak, to look at from an observer place if you're not in the energy. So that gets cut. It gets overlooked. Let's zoom in to the fast, hard stuff so that our sexuality gets patterned as, you know, in a very traditional and a very blunt way of speaking, in a very heterosexual way of speaking in terms of male-female, but this applies in the energy across the board, it's sort of get hard, get in, get off, and get done. And that type of energy is incredibly limiting in our belief system and our structures, and it sets up a whole pattern of possibility that is incredibly focused, narrow, and limited. So that's my two cents on how that pattern gets weaved into our sexuality. Call it good, call it bad, it's just a pattern. It's a pattern that I think is incredibly misleading and narrow. So yes, that's one way. There are a whole rainbow, beautiful spectrums of ways of relating, slowing down, being in our bodies, delighting in the scent of our partner, in the touch, in our breath, that are overlooked and are profound when we look at this sort of fast pattern. So as I invite all of that, sitting with that, we're going to come back in a moment to now take this into a new place, to take this a little bit further into another way of looking at how can we pattern in our sexuality.
You are listening live to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. Today is June 16th, 2015, and you're listening with Leslie Blackburn and her show, Sacred Sexuality. If you would like to talk with Leslie today or ask her a question about her current topic, please give us a call at 646 378 646-378-0370. And that number again is 646-378-0370. Now back to your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Yay, thank you, Courtney. So we are talking today about a question that comes often. How can I make my partner have an orgasm? How can I make them have pleasure or give them pleasure? And we've been exploring a bit about maybe looking at that question a new way, understanding or exploring a new way to look at the nature of orgasm itself. And now I want to invite us heading into how can we support each other in being in a moment of pleasure, of letting go into orgasm, so that it becomes less about I must make somebody do something and more about an interdependency that's letting go, that's co-creating. So while I say I can't make somebody do something, I can't make somebody surrender, I can't press a button and have pleasure happen, I can't flip a switch and have an orgasm kick off, what I can do, and this is so exquisite, what I can do, I can create a sweet, safe space and really witness without judging, so that I'm creating that very container for possibility of well-being and relaxed nature. So I can really release into that expansion of an orgasm, that real, true releasing of all that is now into the pleasurable, ecstatic emergence. That is the nature of supporting and inviting possibility, letting go into possibility. That's the balance to me, so that we can co-create in that space of balance, of not forcing one way or another, or not disempowering to myself to think, I can't do this myself, I need my partner to do something for me. So it's disempowering when we go in that direction, that I need to, if I think I need to do this for somebody, then I, or if I think that they need to do this for me, what's it like to co-create together? Again, an interdependence instead of harshly independent, something I'm quite familiar with in my past, we'll talk about, or instead of codependent in a way that says, I'm not good enough unless I have somebody in my life. I can't do this without somebody. So balance. In my own journey, in my past, I referred to this earlier, I had a really hard time to reach orgasm. And so assuming, you know, I would just kind of assume I needed to wait around for my partner to do it, but I wasn't really asking for what I needed or wanted. And so that was disempowering, like assuming that I'm not capable, I don't know how to do this, I take too long, never mind, it feels good to have sex. Like had you asked me in this time frame, I would have said, yeah, I have a good sex life and we enjoy our sexuality together. This was a committed partner and me. And yet I could never let go into an orgasm with his, you know, and it with his hands or his body, his lingam. It was always by my own hand, in kind of the one way I knew, in a really intense, anxious, drawn up kind of way. And so what would happen is there was like this, me being a bit of a control freak. So there was, you know, and I'm recovering control freak now. There's still a little bit of that in me, but wow, have I changed that a lot. So when I was full on in that control freak phase, there was just this part of me that would say, oh, never mind, you know, I'm just not going to have an orgasm like this. So let me take matters into my own hands. I'm just going to take it over. And so what I would effectively do is kind of hold my partner at arm's length, so to speak, energetically, and just never mind, let me just do it myself. And it wasn't that I thought they were doing anything wrong. It's just that I didn't think I was capable. And, you know, clearly we're just not, I must be one of those women, quote, who, you know, in the research books, you know, X% of women could have an orgasm in one way and X percent in another and Y percent in a third. And what's really going on in there, which is a discussion even for another time, to me is not really looking at the whole spectrum of time of a life and change of possibility for women. But at the time, it just was like, oh, I must not be able to do this. So it was just, never mind, I'm going to take over, I'm going to do it all myself. And what I really started to learn was that wasn't so healthy either. That when I'm just holding my partner at bay and I'm not letting my heart open. I'm not allowing myself to be present with and to let them in. I'm holding them at bay. I'm hiding my heart. And the reality is, no one can really survive completely isolated from the rest of humanity. We can't just live off in a box somewhere with no contact, which is an extension of what's happening when we're in that deep place of intimacy and not, you know, it's like I'm not letting myself open. The word intimacy, into me see. You know, I hear people come to me around intimacy and desire of deepening in intimacy. And one of the things I learned from some beautiful teachers and I invite and share is that it's not just about what can you do to make them, again, it's that make thing. It's not just making them be more intimate with you. It's, I'll speak from my own story. Can I let my heart open and be vulnerable and open to the possibility of allowing that person in? It goes both ways. That is gold to our partner, to be able to open our heart and to share sometimes our deepest emotions, our deepest fears, our deepest secrets. Those are powerful nuggets of connection. And again, those get skimmed by when we go through this rushed experience around our sexuality having to be about making somebody do something or turning and flipping a switch. Letting ourselves open in intimacy and love and connection, that's not easy to do, right? So I say that, and I don't say it lightly. It's not just, again, oh, I just need to be better at opening my heart. That's what my control freak self says there. And what I have to remind myself is, you're not doing anything wrong. Just slow down, listen, and let yourself feel what it's like to open your heart. Now, comes back to creating the safe space, the container, the possibility. What's it like to really hold the possibility that I can be in my body? What's it like to hold the possibility that I can feel who I am? So it's the interaction. So back as I was saying, we can't expect to just hold our partner at bay either. So we're not holding them at arm's length, or when we do notice that, gently noticing it, but that our interaction, our interdependence with our partners and other people in this world, that's the very part of our growth and being on this planet. As one of my teachers would say, Kenneth Ray Stubbs in particular, sexual shaman, he talks about we can only grow as beings when we're incarnate. You know, coming back to that awareness that we are vast energetic beings. We are infinite beings in finite form. And so at a soul level, at a beingness level, we are here in this exquisite gift of a physical body, but we're not defined by it. So to be here and to be relating through this physical body, that is a gift. And the very gift that we're giving ourselves by being in our physical body is a way to learn and grow. As Ray says, we can't grow as a soul unless we are in an incarnate. So it's through our incarnation, through our capacity to be here in a physical form, that allows our relationships. It's how we interact with and relate with the world. How do I come into relationship with the earth? Relate with the plants growing around me, maybe in my very own backyard. What are they having to say? Relating with the animals, being with crystals, with earth being, with the sun, the moon, with humans, having experiences with other human beings, whether that's, you know, a deep intimate experience or a partnership for a long period of time. Also, it's the 30-second ones. How do I relate with that person that I'm just meeting in the store or brushing against on the street? Do I see them, acknowledge them, if even for a moment? What's it like to acknowledge myself in relationship with them? When do I notice fear in my body when I'm around other people? And I hear, as I say that, I hear myself, no, like, wow, yeah, I'm not afraid. I got this. I'm blah, blah, blah. What subtle level of body response is indicating, I'm not sure I feel safe right now? And how much of that is, well, yep, there's actually an innate danger in this moment. Like maybe someone is doing something risky with knives or guns or things like that. That can be a fearful situation. So putting that one aside for a moment. But just our natural day-to-day stuff. When do we notice gripping near some, you know, around people? And how much of that really is just ourselves going, what do I need to feel safe? Am I moving too quickly? Would it feel better to stop and take a breath? This type of learning of experience, the way we relate with the world and the way our body carries our experiences, we learn from that. One of the ways our bodies carry experience is through accessing it, this actually came through to me through some deep training I'm doing right now with biodynamic cranial sacral therapy, and I find this to be absolutely profound, that our bodies carry our experiences in different ways. So let's use an example, because this comes through in our sexuality in a big way. I'm going to give it at a different level at this moment. Let's say we get hit in the shoulder by a baseball. And let's say that baseball hits the shoulder, bounces off, and, you know, we shake it off, or the system is able to process the impact of that baseball right in that moment. Any sort of pain or discomfort shifts and releases right away, and it's just gone. And actually, we forget about it completely. Don't even remember being hit by that baseball. That's one possibility. Another possibility is we get hit by that baseball. There might be something in our body that's hanging on there in some way. Or maybe just in that moment, the way we're resourced, the way the body, our system, knows how to handle it in the moment, it just needs a little extra support. And there's this field of potency, this sort of divine nature that we have access to. And this gets to our beautiful energetic beings. But there's this field of potency of the ordering matrix, the possibility of a human that comes in and says, oh, okay, I'm going to just gently rest with you here and hold this to limit the impact to the system so that that ball hitting my shoulder might become a little bruise or swell at my shoulder. And that's what I mean, is that bruising or swelling maybe is the way that our system, our body, interacts with the field of potency. I'll call it the divine presence, or we can call it just that sort of infinite field. And that the two together go, I'm going to hold it in this way. This is limiting the impact of that situation, of that experience on the system into the most contained way we know in the moment. So then maybe that bump or that swell eases over another week or so, and maybe it goes away and literally leaves nothing behind. But sometimes there's something that for whatever reason just hangs on. And it can hang on for 20 or 30 years. It can hang on for 50 years. But maybe in a moment, it's feeling safe and resourced in a way for that to start to reveal at one point in the future. And then things can start to come back into our awareness. And we can have the exquisite grace of possibility to let go of that way that that thing is being held in our body. That possibility of unwinding comes in when we can slow down, when we can do effectively what I've just described, creating a container? Do we have a safe space? Are we allowing our system to be witnessed without judged? We're not beating ourselves up for that bruise on the shoulder. We're just simply noticing it. Can we hold the space of stillness that invites the body, the system, to go gently back into a space of a field of awareness that can gently lift whatever's holding it back to invite the spaciousness again? Our body is incredibly wise. It knows our fullest state of health and of well-being. So it's going to either hold things to limit the effects to our system to the simplest form that we can work with, or it's going to gently reveal them when it's time and it might be ready for them to let go. And the beauty is when some of that starts to let go, that divine essence, this beautiful, I'll call it breath of life, this energy that comes in that holds along with the experience, once that gets liberated a little bit to start to unwind that bound spot, that energy, that life force energy that was holding there becomes available. So it's now that life force presence is now available and actually increases the energy you have capacity to access in your day. It's so profound that we're not only to know that we can not only slow down, create a safe container to listen to our bodies and unwind things, but that as we do, we're literally creating more energy for ourselves. Like, wow! When I started to work with that concept and to really feel it and live it, I was absolutely and continue to still be blown away. It's amazing. And so all of that description I just gave was in the context of an experience meeting the body meeting an experience. Now imagine our sexual history, the way we experience our sexuality, is also stored in the body. And it's stored in the body in the G-spot for women or the prostate for men. It's our sacred spot. This sacred spot, or even I'll say whole channel of our core being, it's the G-spot and the prostate are sponge-like tissues. They're literally sponges. They kind of hold information. So all of those limiting patterns that I described before, that often that's just all we knew. We were steeped in it. We learned our way through lives, and that's perfect and all in divine order, no worries. Even when it feels icky, we have ways to move through that. So now imagine as we come back into contact with these areas of the body how things may feel safe to be revealed. And this can be the very nature of stuff that kind of bumps up as we're feeling pleasure or bumps in as we're nearing an orgasm. So coming back to the topic that we're exploring around how can I make someone have an orgasm, or and my answer, my philosophy being we can't make them, but instead we can allow. And part of the safe space holding of allowing is creating that possibility so that I can be vulnerable and open and allow myself to let go into these deep ecstatic states. That possibility comes with listening to what my body has to say. If I'm bumping into areas that are saying, oh, but there's this old thing, or some I call them fruit flies. There's something that bubbles up from the past that we swat at. We try to just shove it away. It's been stored in our body for a long time. We don't maybe even aren't conscious that that's what's going on, but it flutters in. I call them fruit flies because they tend to fly around our head. And they tend to be seemingly random, like, where are you coming from? And we tend to just swat at them, like, I don't want to deal with you right now. I'm trying to feel good. I don't want to deal with you right now. And we swat away. And these can be memories. They can be emotions. They can be thoughts. And these things seem random. They seem, like, completely irrelevant. And often they're the very, very thing that just wants to be heard, to be given a chance to release. So when I talk about we can't make somebody do something, but instead can we co-create together a safe space for the body to reveal what's ready to be revealed, that's the magic to me. That's the balance. When we can come back to that core premise of creating a safe container that is the very nature of allowing expansive and ecstatic and wide experiences of possibility and pleasure and even transcendence. It is the container that holds the space for that. That is profound, and it is something we can absolutely do with our partner. We can absolutely learn how to hold that safe space so that we can co-create magical possibilities for ourselves and our partners. That's real. And I want to encourage, and coming back to the very beginning when I said part of me wants to answer this question with, you can't make anybody do anything. You know, how can I make my partner have an orgasm? You can't make anybody do anything, and yet those questions are coming from a place of desire to see that there is a possibility to share openness and pleasure and expansiveness. And yes, I want to affirm, yes, yes, you can learn to co-create a safe space, to allow the divine nature of our beings to feel safe to emerge and to spread her wings and to feel like safe to fly. That's an exquisite practice. And when I can feel that for myself and I can relate to and connect with a partner that's holding that with me, even deeper magic happens. So it's not just about me doing it by myself. Instead, it's about me holding the space for what do I need to let go to relate with my partner in that beautiful space. That is powerful and profound. And I invite that is possible for every single one of us to explore new heights, new possibilities, and new ways of feeling in our bodies by listening to our bodies. And with that, I'm going to invite a short break, and we'll come back with one more piece.
Thank you for joining us today. You are listening live to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. If you would like to contact Leslie, please venture to mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com, where you can find out all of her contact information. Tantric Energy Touch Workshop, available on CD. Have you wanted to attend a class but were a little nervous about the group setting? Explore a live Tantric Energy Touch class in the comfort of your home with a partner or by yourself with this audio CD. Order online, see the website. Tantric Energy Touch Workshop on CD, a guided practical introduction to exploring energy through breath, sound, movement, visualization, and touch. The 2014-2015 Mystery School Year of Sacred Sexuality classes are complete. We've had a great season, and the next round of group classes will begin again in the fall. The best way to get announcements about upcoming classes is to subscribe to the email newsletter, about 1 to 2 per month, link available under contact at the website. Announcing Leslie's new monthly Sacred Sexuality video cast. You choose your level of involvement, whether you want to be a part of the conversation live or sit back and take it in. See details at the website under event calendar to join in. The next one is Wednesday, July 1st at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Leslie is also available for private sessions, and you can find more information about this at the website at mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com. And now back to your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Yay, thank you, Courtney. And we've been exploring today a powerful question, a powerful topic that has a whole fluidity and spectrum of answer. That what's it like to hold space, to open, to create possibility, to let myself be and open and allow and surrender into pleasure, into possibility, and to co-create that with my partner. A profound journey, a shift of awareness from a very driven, doing way of being to one that says, I also value being. I value slowing down. I value space. That in that space, profound emergence can happen, listening to what my body has to say. And I want to invite us now to really deeply listen to take a moment as you're listening to this program, whether it's with me now live or in the archives, to let yourself feel imbued with possibility, to receive the transmission that says, it is really possible to remap and repattern my sexuality if I choose. I don't have to. This is all a choice. I may feel perfectly delighted in my journey. Great. You have the power of choice, that there is an empowerment in knowing that you can open, shift, create, recreate, and literally remap your body, listening deeply to your body for those bits of guidance, for those messages. So take a moment now to just tap in and listen to what your body is saying in the moment. Is there a position that would feel a little better? Is there any sensations, movements? Can you describe the qualities of temperature or the way the body is moving, fluttering, twitching, spiraling, expanding, contracting? Just noticing the way the body is by simply being. These bits of information become valuable tools to follow and listen to on the journey of self-awareness. And as you sink in, settle in, let your body, your belly drop, feeling a sense of dropping a ground line, as if maybe a stone into a well, dropping down through the central channel of your body, inhaling into your belly, and then letting it drop all the way down into the earth, maybe 5 feet down. Feeling the presencing, the grounding of that connection as you drop in your belly. From that ground, again, feeling your midline. Maybe that's a central channel in your body or your spine. There's lots of ways to relate. Feeling somewhere in your body, perhaps even back further than your current awareness. Can you shift from that forebrain of thought and rational and analytical and drop it back? Feel the center. Widen. Feel the rear. Maybe even noticing the space behind you. And acknowledge that space behind you is you. You are a vast energetic being that is greater than this physical form. And the gift of being in a body means you can relate, work with energy, interact, interdepend on beautiful beings on this planet. So with the breath of gratitude for being in a body, for acknowledging the world around you, and acknowledging your power, taking a moment to drop away any of those limiting beliefs, maybe a pattern that you used to sit with that might feel nice to shift. Let an exhale drop that away. And on an inhale, invite in that new pattern, the new possibility, and the courage, the willingness, the grace to receive it. Thank you so much for joining me today. I send you grace and peace. And may the divine light in me see and honor the divine light in each of you. Namaste.
Thank you so much for joining us live today with Leslie Blackburn and Sacred Sexuality. If you would like to contact Leslie, please go to mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com. Leslie is also available for private sessions, and you can find more information about this at her website, mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com, which is a private temple studio in West Dearborn, Michigan. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today and listening, and have a wonderful rest of the day.
Join us again next time for continued support on your path of self-realization. The power is within you to heal your body, connect deeply with others, manifest your heart's desires, and experience your deepest bliss. By our healing, we impact others, inspiring love for humanity and the planet. Thank you for joining us for Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn.